2021 is upon us. Is it possible for 2021 to be perfect? Well, that's what we're going to be looking at today in our Bible study. We're going to be looking at a word study or a topical study on maturity in Christ. In the King James Bible, it uses the word perfect. So let's look at a verse in Matthew 5 and verse number 48. Matthew 5 and verse number 48. Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. Once again, be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is also perfect. It seems like an impossible standard until you look up that word, perfect. Okay, it seems like on a very shallow reading, if you just buzzed over it, it seems as if what it's saying is God expects for us to be without any imperfection whatsoever. And that's not what it's saying. So we're going to look at this word perfect. We're going to look at it. We're going to follow it throughout the Bible. And we're going to see how it applies to us today. And it actually brings us great hope. And we're going to look at how it can bring us great hope. Okay, so let's pray. And we'll look at this Bible study together. Father, thanks so much for this opportunity, Lord, to worship you as we study your word. Please speak to our hearts. Teach us, Lord, the importance of being mature in our Christian faith. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Many times if we're confused by the wording in the Bible, or if it seems like an impossible standard is being given to us in the Bible, it's very important for us to look at the context. And the easiest way to understand the context is sometimes when you look at a verse, it becomes pixelated. And we understand that in the digital age, where we're so zoomed in on something, it just appears to be this very confusing series of blotches. And we're like, I think that's what that is, but I don't know what that is. And so we need to zoom out. And that's how we can fix that pixelation. Obviously, we can always go for an upgrade. But the upgrade in this case would be to look up the words. And we'll do that as well. But in this particular case, in Matthew 5 and verse number 48, it's telling us to be perfect. If you go back up to we can look at this whole chapter. We're not going to do that. It's pretty long. But oftentimes, if we're confused by a verse, we need to go back to the paragraph break. And it may be different in every Bible. It's not inspired of God. The paragraph breaks are not necessarily inspired by God. Those are put in the Bible for us to make it more easily readable. But it kind of, as we know a paragraph, it gives us a complete thought of series of sentences that gives us a complete thought. And for me, in my Bible, it goes in verse number 43. You have heard that it has been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans, the same, the publicans being the tax collectors, hated in the society of the Jews at this time. They worked for the Roman government. Oftentimes they would charge them in excess and pocket that excess that they charged them. They had a lot of power over them. Verse 46, once again. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, or your family, or your pals, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father which is in heaven is perfect. The example of his perfection, not his flawlessness, which God is flawless, okay, But the example of this word perfect, or this word maturity, is found in verse number 45. That ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven, for he, God being the example of maturity, maketh, I love this, his son to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. God does not choose to give good things to good people only. He allows good things to come, such as the sun rising and the rain falling on those who absolutely despise him and those who love him and try to follow him with all their heart. That is the picture of maturity that's given to us. It is a choice that we make in how to deal with situations and how we deal with other people. Be ye therefore mature, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is mature. If you look up the word perfect, it means complete. The Greek word in the definition in the Greek means, if you look it up in Strong's Concordance, it means complete. Brought to its end. Completeness, mature, wanting nothing necessary for completeness. We'll give a couple of illustrations. The first illustration of mature is actually found in Webster's 1828 dictionary. Now, all of these are found on a lot of Bible apps, so don't think that I do have a lot of books. You can see them behind me, and I have others in this room, but these are easily found definitions. And the reason why we use the 1828 dictionary is because the English language had not changed a whole lot from the 1611 translation of the King James Bible. And so it was, it had changed some, but it gives a very good definition in a way that we can understand it. So the word mature, if you look up the word mature in the 1828 dictionary, it means ripe. Isn't that a great definition? Be like a ripe piece of fruit. Now, that helps me understand that sometimes the very best fruit that tastes the best and is the most nutritious doesn't always look the best. That is a great lesson to learn in Christianity. We'll get into that in just a moment. But Christianity is not about looking the best. It's not about the externals. It's about the internals. When we lived in Southeast Asia, kera was the word for banana. I'll never forget, and when I go back to visit, this is on the very top of my shopping list, especially when they're in season. They would have these little tiny bananas. They were that long. I mean, just maybe 4 inches at the most, maybe 5 at the very most. And they looked kind of beat up, to be honest. They weren't the brightest yellow. They often had a lot of imperfections in the skin. Not necessarily bruised, but just they did not have that sleek, picture-perfect banana look that you find at many bananas here in Canada or in the States. And if you're accustomed to thinking that fruit should look perfect, then you have a hard time shopping for organic, ripened on the vine, out of somebody's little patch of land on the backside of a hill in Southeast Asia, sold out of a old rickety wooden food cart type of a fruit. you have a very difficult time. You think that's not going to be any good. You know, well, oftentimes Christianity, that's exactly the way that it looks. You know, if we're not careful, we will have an affinity for polished Christianity and not sincere, heartfelt Christianity. I am not the taste tester of Christianity. God is. And oftentimes, what looks incredibly, doesn't mean we shouldn't give it our best, but oftentimes, if it's all about polishing up the exterior so that other people will think that I'm perfect, as in flawless, God looks at that and says, there's no heart there. There's no flavor. There's no substance. That's not been ripened on the vine. It's not been brought to maturity. And I'm telling you what, I promise you, everybody I've ever brought to Nepal, every visitor we ever had in our country service there, when we went shopping for bananas, we would give them one and say, you have to try this. Because, I mean, most people love bananas anyway. And I'm telling you, they are so sweet and they're so good. And you can sit down and eat a whole bunch of them pretty quickly. Why? Because they're ripe. Because they have been, the definition goes on, ripe, perfected by time or natural growth as of a man of mature age. Okay? Be also therefore perfect as your Father is perfect. God is holy. God is righteous. God is love. And these are not immature characteristics. These are mature. His love is mature love. Okay, it's not emotional. It's not syrupy and puppy love. It's not a feeling. It's not inappropriate. His holiness is a mature holiness. It's perfect holiness. It's flawless, but it's mature. It's ripe. It is proper. Another illustration that we could use is when it comes to perfect or complete. My kiddos got some Lego sets for Christmas. And we were working on one last night. It was a little spaceship. And it was a smaller set. It wasn't very big. We were all three of us working together on it. And when you work on a Lego set, you follow the directions. It comes with a little paper set of instructions, and it takes you brick by brick, and it tells you to place the brick in the proper place, and page by page, and it leads you to put the right pieces in at the right time. And then if you go to the next step, and you think this doesn't fit here, you kind of have to backtrack a little bit and think, well, maybe I put that last brick on in the wrong spot. And it allows you, those instructions allow you to correct mistakes as you go along. And all three of us were working together to achieve this goal of completeness, ripeness, and completeness. Think about this concept of putting together a Lego set. When we read these verses in Ephesians 4, now I'm just going to read these, but listen to these very carefully. Ephesians 4:11 through 16 is talking about the different pieces, the different Lego pieces, if you will. But it's talking about the different pieces of the church and how the church brings, as we play our role and as we grow in knowledge, we end up fitting together and we all together come to maturity. Listen to these verses. Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Why? For the perfecting of the saints. And those are the church members. That's every born-again baptized church member of the church. We're called saints. For the work of the ministry, the verse goes on. for the edifying or the building up of the body of Christ. If I am not faithful to my church, and I'm not faithful to listen and receive the truth of the Word of God, I am not maturing in my faith. I'm not ripening. My Lego set, my life is incomplete. I've got pieces missing. Why? I'm not playing my role. You are not capable, just you and God alone, of coming to maturity on your own any more than a piece of fruit is able to come to natural ripeness on its own without the tree or without the vine. A part of being a mature Christian is knowing we need the church. A part of being a mature Christian is participation in your local church. A part of being a ripening Christian and a Christian that's pleasing to the Lord is knowing that we need a pastor and knowing that we need a teacher. And you say, oh, you're just trying to get people to listen to you. Let me tell you guys something. I have a pastor too. And I listen to him as well. Now, I don't listen to every sermon he preaches, but I have a pastor as well. I am under authority. And every wise, maturing Christian is under the authority of their church. And they are being brought to a ripening and a maturity. Till we all come in the unity of the faith, verse 13 says, and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, under the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God's plan for each and every Christian is to bring us to maturity. Let me ask you something. Based on last year, well, it's still this year, 2020, it's almost 2021. Did God use those various pressures, circumstances, frustrations, heartbreaks? Did you allow him to use those things to bring you to a maturity that you didn't have before? To bring you to a trust that you didn't have before? To bring you to a unity of the faith? You know, mature Christians are not put off by the fact that they have a lot in common with other Christians. Immature Christians strive to be unique from other Christians. They feel like that getting too involved takes away their independence and individuality and uniqueness. And that's not true at all. That's a lie from the devil. Any more than an individual Lego wants to be left alone so it can be important, when its true purpose and its true, and I'm being a little facetious here, a little silly, but its true, the whole purpose for it being made is so that it can fit in that one little spot. That's what it means to be perfect. That's what it means to be complete. It means, God, I'm willing for you to place me, and I'm content with serving the purpose you have given me in my place. No matter how hidden it may be, no matter how covered up I may be, I am willing to do my part. Ephesians 4 and verse number 14. That we henceforth be no more children. Children here, in the previous verse, it talks about a perfect man or mature adult in the sense of that our faith is mature. Okay, it's not talking about an age here. It's talking about that we're no, verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children. There are people who have been saved for years, but they're in their faith, they're incredibly immature. They're not willing to They're not willing to accept responsibility. They're not willing to be in their place. They're not willing to serve. They're not willing to grow. They're not willing to ripen. They're not willing to mature in their faith and to begin to look at things the way God looks at things. That we henceforth be no more children. What is typified by someone who is immature in their faith? Okay, henceforth no more children, tossed to and fro, it says, and carried about with every wind of doctrine. Someone who is immature in their faith doesn't really know what they believe. Someone who is immature in their faith doesn't really know what the Bible says. Someone who is immature in their faith is content for pastor to know. Someone who is immature in their faith is carried about every time they hear. They're constantly on the search for new sermon material, for new preachers, especially in today's age. I mean, before you had to go to a bookstore, you got to get a tape, cassette tape club list. You had to wait for it to come out. Now, man, you can get on YouTube and you can hunt down anything. And I'm telling you, there is every wind of doctrine found on the internet these days. And a lot of them have books. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of man. By the sleight of man. And cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Mature Christians can see through the deception of false teachers that are spinning a beautiful, beautiful, flowery, emotional story, but it's carrying them somewhere into the world of false doctrine. And that's why so many immature Christians have such a difficult time with their emotions. That's why they have such a difficult time with anxiety. You want help for your anxiety? Nail down what the Bible says on sound doctrine and believe it. And believe it. Quit looking for a Christian therapist in a pulpit somewhere and nail down what the Bible says. That gives you a firm foundation, the Bible says in Hebrews, that it gives us an anchor for our soul. Our soul is so prone to being tossed to and fro and carried about. Circumstances and people and persuasion and emotion and sickness and health and I'm feeling good. And so, listen, mature Christians, they know what they believe. They know what they believe. And they go to a church that's not interested in carrying them away. That's not interested in deception. You know, that's not interested in cunning craftiness, deception. Not interested in that. Mature Christians are interested in going to a church that's interested in them maturing. You know, there are some churches out there that would just rather you stay immature. They don't want you to. They don't, you know, there are some churches out there that are more like the Wizard of Oz behind the curtain, and they don't want you to peek behind the curtain. There's a lot of churches, and there's a lot of religions out there that play on the mystery of it all. Oh, I've been doing this for years, and you just wouldn't understand. It's so anecdotal, meaning it's all based on personal experience and stories instead of basing it on clear Bible teaching. You know, the difference in a mature Christian and an immature Christian is like walking into Home Depot. Now, for somebody who is not an experienced builder, walking into Home Depot can be one of the most boring things that can be done. Why am I here? But to somebody who's an experienced builder, it is a world of possibilities. I mean, to them, to the inexperienced and to the immature in the area of, you know, home improvement or a building or craftsmanship, a lumber yard is not fun. But to somebody who knows how to take a piece of wood and shape it, that lumber aisle is magnificent. And that's the difference between going to a church that seeks to mature you and one who just seeks to tantalize you. Churches that are trying to tantalize you are more like a candy shop than a lumber yard. They're not interested in your nutrition. They're not interested in the longevity. They're not interested in you not being tossed to and fro. They're only interested in you feeling the feels in that moment. That's it. But a good church and a mature Christian are interested in building a solid life for the future. And having a faith that's worth being passed down to our kids. It says in verse number 15, but speaking the truth in love. Stop. There are so many churches that are not interested in this at all. Now, there are some churches out there that speak the truth, but they don't do it in love. That's not right either. They're not interested in you growing. They have no compassion. They're extremely abrasive. There's more anger, and they call it holy anger, but it's not holy. Okay, to them, every service is Jesus cleansing the temple. That's the spirit. Okay, but we've got to understand that God, in his maturity, speaks the truth, and he does so in love. He seeks to do it in a self-sacrificing way in order to help me. Speaking the truth in love. When I'm brought to maturity, I'm going to know what I believe. And I'm going to be able to tell somebody what I believe. I'm going to be able to articulate what I believe. I'm going to be able to speak the truth in love. I'm going to know the truth because I've been taught the truth and I've not settled for the candy shop. Okay. There are some people that come to a good church like ours and they're bored. It's not tantalizing enough. Now, I hate dead churches. I hate it. And I think that those of you who faithfully attend Sparrow know that. I want to have a good time. Okay? Not a fleshly time, but I want to have a good time. I want to worship the Lord. I want to lift him up. I want to be able to raise my hand. I want to be able to say amen. That will never be outlawed at Sparrow. But it shouldn't be to the point where if it's not instantly tantalizing, I'm out. Okay, that's candy shop. That's immature. We need to grow into maturity. Speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, the Bible says, verse number 15, Ephesians 4:15. May grow up into him in all things. Maturity is realizing that the Christian life is connected to Christ. It's not just learning the truth and being hard and scowling at everybody because they don't do it the way I do it or see things the way I see it. No, the truth, knowing the truth and knowing Christ ought to give me the spirit of love. Ought to give me the spirit of love towards my family, towards others. And as I mature in Christ, I grow into Him. My relationship with the Lord becomes deeper, becomes more significant, becomes more personal. And it says, which is the head, even Christ. Okay, Christ is the head of the church. If my relationship with the Lord is not what it should be during the week, then me going to church is not going to be a great experience come Sunday. Maturity in Christ is being what I need to be for the church and at church. But it also means during the week, I am growing up into Him. I have a relationship with the Lord. I'm praying. I'm reading my Bible. I'm connecting with God. And look at verse number 16, Ephesians 4:16, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. Maturity realizes that everybody that comes to church is important. Maturity in Christ realizes that everybody who comes to church has something to give. It may not be what I give, but they give something and it's important. And I treat others with kindness. You know, one of the most amazing advantages of being in a big city, especially one like Toronto, is that we have people from so many different backgrounds and different ethnicities and different countries, different languages, different cultures. Sometimes these things can be a challenge. It's an opportunity for me to act as a mature Christian. That's what it is. And realize they are not like me, but they have something to contribute. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, making increase of the body, unto the edifying of itself in love. If I bring maturity to my church, if I bring maturity to my family, if I bring maturity and a willingness to ripen, a willingness for God to work in my heart naturally, supernaturally, but naturally. If I have that willingness, it's going to result in edifying. The word edifying means to be built up. Guys, aren't you tired of being torn down? There rarely is a comment in the comment section on all the drivel on the internet that is an edifying comment. Now, sometimes it is. Sometimes it's funny. Sometimes it's building up. But it's so rare, is it not? You know what's not rare? Somebody saying something on the internet that they would never tell you to your face. Something where it's like Wreck-It Ralph, man. They've got this big hammer and all they want to do is just blam, blam, blam. And just the skepticism and just the pure hatred sometimes that comes out. Maturity in Christ realizes I can act mature towards people that don't act mature towards me. I can choose to act and not be helpless to only react. Isn't that good? So, we may continue this Bible study next week, if the Lord wills it. But here's the question. Are you allowing the Lord to mature you? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. There are those who are not interested in being mature. They're interested in getting what they want. There are some who are brought up either by society or by a family, by a parent, with the mindset that they are a victim. Because of some tragedy, because of their particular background, because of perhaps a victim of a crime, perhaps because of a racial or ethnic affiliation. And I'm not saying that people haven't been victimized. That's certainly not what I'm saying at all. But what I'm trying to say is that because of Christ and because of his redemptive work on Calvary, he gives us grace to mature from that point. We don't have to live there. That doesn't have to identify us. Victory can be that which identifies us and not victimhood. Others can feel as if they're already perfect. I'm pretty much okay. No modification needed. I'm not just ripe. I'm perfect. Continued maturity is not necessary. Okay, can I say for you, that's not true. I think that's one reason why God designed the Christian life to be lived in the unity and in participation of a good, doctrinally sound local church. Because it humbles you. It causes you to love. It's easy to love from afar. It's difficult to love when you're close. Both of these are wrong. Victimhood and just, I'm pretty much perfect. God expects everyone to mature in their faith. Guys, thanks so much for listening. Remember to be kind to one another. Act like Christians during New Year's. Okay? Act mature. There are people who are watching you, and there are people who need you to be a mature Christian. And can I just say, if you doubt, if you doubt whether or not it's worth it to allow God to mature you and ripen you and complete you, ask yourself, what is the best and most perfectly ripe piece of fruit that I've ever had? Whatever it may be. Again, for me, it was those bananas. The mangoes, too. Oh, my goodness. You may not be a mango person, but if you ever get a mango that's ripe from right off the tree, oh. I remember being in Georgia one time. Peaches. I mean, organic, farm fresh, ripe, plucked that day off the tree. You bite into that thing, it's like biting into a water balloon. It just, it goes everywhere. It's awesome. It's amazing. That's what God wants to make your life. Doesn't mean it's going to be perfect. Doesn't mean it's not going to be flawed. It doesn't mean it's not going to have bumps and bruises. But it means it's going to have sustenance that is satisfying to him and to you. Guys, thanks so much for watching. Let's pray together. Father, thank this opportunity. Lord, just to study your word, it's so good. Your word is so good. Help us not to be satisfied with a shallow, self-serving version of Christianity, but help us to be interested in being like you, to be mature and perfect. and complete in our faith the way you are. It may not look perfect to somebody else, but boy, is it satisfying. We love you. Thank you for your goodness to us. Help us to love one another. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.